You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning at 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this. So we're going to turn our attention to the weekend's Gaelic football action. Eamon Fitzmaurice and Lee Keegan are on the line to help us to preview this. Lads, you're both very welcome. Eamon, if I can start with you, is there a little pang of regret this week? Is it automatic that, you know, you should really be hopefully preparing a team to take on Dublin? Are you kind of going through the motions about what this week might have been like, or have you managed to divorce yourself from that?
Yeah, no, Neil and Hedger, lots of, I suppose, wistful thinking this week are all right, but I'll be happy when the week is over, to be honest. I think anyone that's not involved in the All-Ireland final is like that when you've ambitions to be involved. So immersing myself in work this week and busy at that. So that's no harm.
Schools are back and you've got a new gig as a principal. So obviously, you know, it's not a bad thing to throw yourself into.
No, exactly. Yeah, I've been enjoying it now. The first couple of weeks, I suppose, I've been more or less back since the Leaving Cert results, and this week then we were full steam ahead. So it's been a busy few days, and as I said, that's been no harm to keep me occupied. But obviously, there's still thoughts about the weekend, of course.
Lee, what about you? Did you obviously have to make peace after what happened in Newbridge? Does this week kind of make you remember what last year was like, and, you know, just feed the desire a little bit to get back into training and start thinking about maybe stop in Dublin next year?
Yeah, very much like Eamon, I suppose. This week is always a tough one when you're not involved, because this is the best week of your life to be prepping for such a big game. It's one of my first years I've been involved this late in the season, so I'm trying to adapt as best possible, as Eamon said. I'm trying to bury my head in as much work to kind of keep away from the press and reading about their skills and the tactics and all these bits and pieces. So, yeah, definitely looking back with a bit of regret. But listen, this is the beauty of sport and the toughest sport that you have to knuckle down and you have to prep again for next year and try and get yourself in a position to come back to this big week that we've seen over the last couple of years.
How far out from games, Lee, did you know exactly what your role was going to be? Like, was it immediately after the semi-final, the first meeting after that, that there'd be a chat going, your specific role in the All-Ireland final is going to be this, this or this? Or did that evolve and the thinking evolve as management and yourself would have been having conversations? How did that work?
I think it evolved maybe as the weeks go on. I suppose, depending on what week you were usually out, if we're 4 weeks out from the final or 3 weeks, it'd be very dependent. So usually with 10 or 12 days go, the management give you a little inkling that you could be marking A, B or C, so you'd be kind of prepping your train around that kind of guy you're marking and pick up a similar type figure in training and then A versus B game. So I think it was very much around the time you won your game and trying to adapt to how training was going to be. And obviously we'd known over the time it was probably going to be Dublin over the last couple of years. So it was pretty much down to probably marking the likes of Dermot Connolly or maybe Kieran Kilkenny. So I don't think too much change over the years, having to mark two of the best players in the country, that's, you know, that you're entrusted in detailing these guys in the pitch, so you know your duty and your task is going to be difficult one way or another.
They're very different players though, so like, is there a different preparation for them and not knowing whether or not Connolly was going to start last year, like, were you surprised Connolly didn't start last year, or did you kind of have a fair guess that he'd be coming on as a sub?
I think we planned without Connolly last year, to be really honest. We very much detailed maybe Kilkenny as the main ball winner there last year in terms of, you know, I suppose he was known as the quarterback role. So again, as you mentioned, two totally different players, but two huge influential guys for Jim Gavin on how to play the game for Dublin. And particularly this year, and Kieran Kenny looked like more of a scoring threat. You know, he scored something like 221 in championship this year, so that's been a big feature. And I love to have been marking this weekend, because again, last year he played maybe a bit of a safer role and more of a creator to score. He's got that bit of a scoring edge back this year, so it definitely would have been a tough challenge for the weekend, and will be a tough challenge for Tyrone and how they handle that.
Eamon, we've all been obsessed with how you stop the Dubs basically since Jim Gavin's team were such a swashbuckling team the first time round, and then obviously post Donegal that style changed, but there's been constant conversations asking pundits, you know, what do you do when you're coming up against Dublin? So I guess it's one of those things that you've thought about a lot over the years. Ultimately, is there a single package in your head, like a range of different tactics that you think is the basis of the game plan that gives you the architecture around which to build a winning performance against the Dubs?
Yeah, I think, look, I think they're an outstanding team, and they're the full package in terms of the players they have, the manager they have, the backroom staff they have, the resources they have, the way they use those resources. They're the full package. So to beat them, you have to get everything nearly right on the day. Other teams, you might, you know, get a few things wrong, but still get over the line. But to beat Dublin, you're going to have to earn it, because they're not going to give it to you. But I think a basic thing, and it might sound very simplistic, but you have to have the ball against them. And, you know, when you think about, when you look at them and how you're going to get the ball, it's from your own kick out, from their kick out. From their kick out, obviously, Stephen Cluxton is so good, and they're so good out the field and making runs and movement for him, that often in many games they end up with, you know, 90% of their own kick out. And they're good in the opposition kick out then, and if they even get, you know, 50-50 in that, that's a lot of possession for them then, and they're very, they're, you know, they're clinical, and they've got, as they've got gone on, as you said, they've evolved from that swashbuckling team to a more of a possession-based team, and they, you know, they wait for the right option and the right opportunity, and they're very good at that. So I think you need to get after Stephen Cluxton if you can. Tyrone did quite well in the closing stages of the game in Oma in that regard, but, you know, it's a very different ball game in Croke Park compared to Oma. And they'll have to get their own kick out right. Now, one thing that Niall Morgan does have in his lockers, he does have kind of a long booming kick out over the top, that if Dublin do really press up as they can do, that, you know, Tyrone may get some joy from that if they can win long kick outs over the top and go after Dublin from there. But you know, as I said, it sounds very simplistic, but I think you need to get your hands in the ball, and when you get the ball, then you need to make Dublin pay. And obviously the other thing there, Lee mentioned this, is that you've got to get after their key players. You know, Kieran Kilkenny, Brian Fenton in particular, they're hugely influential for them. You know, they've got a load of great players, but if you can stop a couple of their key guys, certainly it can make life a bit easier for yourself.
Eamon, we all saw before halftime in the 2016 semi-final the way you went after Cluxton's kickouts with a good degree of success, and I think it's fair to say halftime probably came a bit too soon for Kerry on that occasion. What was actually said to the players that day? What was the thought process that went into that game plan against Cluxton's kickouts?
Yeah, we practiced that kick out a lot in the lead into that game, where we put, you know, we had we two banks of four up front, and we had another bank of four in the middle of the field then. So that, in fairness to Stephen Cluxton, you know, you can go to man to man with the Dublin backs. We had success earlier in our years, I suppose, just by going with six zone and forwards, but he became so accurate, and the Dublin backs became so good as just even getting 2 yards of space, and he was able to pick him out, and we had to go a bit more extreme that day. And it worked, and like you said, halftime probably came at the wrong time for us that day, because to be fair to Dublin, they're very good at using halftime to gather themselves, and if a team are doing something to them, that they're good at adjusting at halftime. It was something we had practiced in training. It was something we used a nice bit again this summer against some of the teams we played. But obviously, it's a risk reward, because when you're pushing so many bodies forward, if you lose the kickouts, you're pretty wide open at the back. But it was something we enjoyed working on, and it was something that was satisfying then when it worked in the big day.
Yeah, and I think the idea as well is that it's not pushing up all the time. It's kind of, you do it sometimes, you don't do it other times. Lee, would you relate to what Eamon is saying there, in what he's saying in terms of having two banks of four? I'm not sure what you consider zonal marking, but certainly positionally you're a lot more advanced and a lot more aggressive than you would be. Is that something you specifically worked on, and how often would you have implemented it?
Yeah, I think the 2016 final in particular, we'd actually watched that game from Kerry and Dublin semi, and we learned hugely from what Eamon had done. And it's something we experienced quite a lot in the final, is that Dublin had that two banks of four pushing up. And, you know, we did get a bit of joy at times. Again, I don't think you can sustain it for a full 70 minutes against a Dublin team that have a savage bench now coming on to finish off the job. So I think it's very much around picking your times and moments when you do it. We were very much looking at their set plays and how we can negate that and how we can set up more and more appropriately. So, you know, if we had a free taker taking on the right-hand side, you don't necessarily push, you know, your free taker onto his original man. We leave him in that pocket of space, and then you fill each side as best possible. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. But again, as Eamon said, when you get to Croke Park, you know, I think the Dublin defenders over the last couple of years have just working them little 2 or 3 yards in the young Co Park, that's huge for not only a defender running space, but for a forward trying to defend that, it's not the prettiest place in the world. And then again, when you look at their key players like Fenton, he dominates the middle third, and they're not just good at making the runs in space, they're very good aerial as well. You look at McCarthy as well, Fenton, you look at McCain, these guys are well able to put the ball in the sky as well. So you have so many different options for Dublin and so many different parts of the game you're trying to negate and stop. So I don't think it's just about stopping maybe one side. It's trying to stop their array of kickouts. And again, they've become very systematically brilliant at it because that's just what the top teams do. And Dublin, unfortunately, are the best team at the moment for doing it.
Eamon, what about when you do have the ball? What's the best way of actually going about attacking the Dubs?
Yeah, well, I think, just as Lee said there, I think all teams are looking at each other and the way that they've dealt with the Dubs. And I think Mayo have been very effective at that, and it was something that we learned and we used in the 2017 games. We drew with them in the league in Tralee, we beat them in the league final, and it was more playing a more measured approach than we would normally play in terms of, I think if you're trying to be, a lot of people think that their vulnerabilities in the full back line, and that if you're very direct against them, that they can be vulnerable to that. But we've tried that down the years, and their defenders are actually outstanding, and they're very good. They're very good at defending from the front, and they're quite comfortable with aerial ball as well. So I think you need to mix it. But I think what they are vulnerable to is teams running at them, as all teams are, because it's hard to, it's something that's hard to defend. Mayo have had good success at it. Tyrone in league games as well. Last league game they played in Crow Park, I think it was maybe last year in 2017. They were very good. I'm not sure, was it a draw maybe, or Dublin might have won by a point. Tyrone actually ran the ball very effectively in that game. So I think when you have the ball, you have to go in numbers, you have to run hard, you have to get the support runners, and you have to get the Dublin forwards going the other way. They will work, they are honest players, but it's not really what they want to be doing. If you can get the Howards, the Kilkennys, the Scullies, even the Mannions, the Con Costello, James McCarthy, get all of them fellas going the other way, and you're starting to play the game a small bit on your terms. But I think hard running at them, you can get joy from it. And as I said, I think Mayo have got joy from that in the past, and we got joy from it certainly in that league final as well.
Eamon Donoghue is writing the Irish Times this morning saying half of Dublin's goals they've conceded this year, granted it's only 2 of 4, they've come from high balls into the square, and granted Stephen Clarkson did make an error on both occasions, but we'll remember the Damien Comer one in particular. Like, did you feel that Kieran Donoghue was a big weapon for you against Dublin in particular, Eamon, relatively to some of the other forward options you might have had against them?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he's very effective, and I think that it's the mix, I think, is what you have to get, is that if every ball has gone in long to Kieran, the halfbacks are going to cheat back, Sullivan's going to cheat back and so on in front of him, and they're good at, kind of taking a man's ground and breaking the ball away and picking up breaks. You've got to get the half forwards on the ball as well, get them to maybe get a score or two so that it sucks out the half back line. And if you can get Kieran then, or a target man in one on one situations, that's what you want. They're the kind of situations you want to get. But I think that ball in for the Comer goal in the semi final, I'm not sure who kicked it in, but it was a very kind of a flat trajectory. It was a hard one to defend, and it was one of those perfect balls that, there was pace on it. It was a kind of a flat trajectory. Cluxton was tempted by it. And in fairness to Damien Comer, then when he got a contact on it, it was, it was like a missile. It was like a good cross in soccer that when once you get your head on it, then it kind of adds this. So I think there's a lot in it. But if you have a target man, and, Tyrone have been using Donnelly in that regard, it's a good thing to have because it can keep their backs honest. And it can kind of tempt their half back line to be a bit closer to the full back line and stop them going forward as much, which is a good thing. But it's all about the mix, because if you go one way against Dublin, they'll snuff it out, and they're good. They're very good, both management wise and player wise, at adapting to what's being presented in front of them. So if you're just bombing in high ball, they'll deal with that. You might get a bit of joy out of it, but I think you have to mix it up.
Eamon, we know you have to go, but just before we let you go, how close a game should this be at the weekend? If Tyrone do everything that they want to do, how close a game will it be?
Oh, look, Ger, it's sport. I give Tyrone a massive shout. If I think for Tyrone to win, Dublin need to play a bit below par. Tyrone need to get everything right. It's hard in a big game to get everything right, but it can happen, and that's the beauty of sport. You know, I think the Tyrone team now, they've been, you know, a lot of them have been around the block. A share of them were there when we beat them in the semi-final in 2015. They've been around the block now for a couple of years, and they're probably ready for the next step in terms of having a right cut at an All-Ireland final. But as I said, Dublin are, you know, they're the full package with regard to everything that they have. They kind of have a perfect storm going on at the moment. So they'll need to be below par. Tyrone need to get everything right. But that can happen. And it's, you know, and in sports, anything can happen, and that's the beauty of it. So I'm not sure what the chat is like this week. I presume it's that it's going to be, you know, an easy enough win for Dublin. I'm not quite sure it'll work out that way. I think anytime you win in All-Ireland, you have to really earn it. So I think that's probably the way the game will pan out on Sunday.
Eamon, great stuff. Thanks a million. We'll let you get back to work. Lee, okay. If you've got a second, I might ask you the same question. What do you actually expect to happen in terms of one of the things that was very noticeable about your Mayo team and Eamon Fitzmaurice's Kerry team was that they were two of the very few teams, and maybe the only two teams, who would ever take the field against Dublin genuinely believing that they were going to win the match. Mm. We've seen so many teams come out and kind of pull it up to Dublin. There'll be a bit of a scrap, and then suddenly Dublin are 10 points up in the blink of an eye. That didn't tend to happen to your two teams because you genuinely had the belief, the tactics, the physicality, the conditioning, and everything that you need to go into it. Do Tyrone have that?
I'd agree with him. I think to do this year. Yeah, as you mentioned, like even a lot of them lads we played against were actually in the squad in 13. We beat them dollar in semi there, so they definitely have a mix of players now and experience that they can go after Dublin. But again, I would fully agree with Eamon said. I think, you know, you need to have Dublin a bit below par, and Tyrone nearly probably have to have the perfect game. Now, I do like the fact that Tyrone are very enough about running the ball. I think they're very good at it. And particularly at times, you know, if their shooting was a bit better against Bonn in the semi-final, you know, it could have been a 6-7 point win for them. Instead, it was a lot tighter game than expected. So they've got runners like Tiernan McCann coming from the back, you know, nice runners and brilliant stuff in the half forward. I think Mike Donnelly is a huge player for them. So they've got the quality of players to hurt Dublin. I just, can they sustain it for the 70 minutes? I don't know that this is the biggest challenge for Tyrone, because we know what Dublin can do. We know their bench is pretty awesome, and they bring on some of their subs and the experience they have. So I do think it's going to be a close game. I do think Tyrone are going to go in believing under Mickey, and Mickey does have a squad believing they're going to win All-Ireland this year, and I think that's no different. But again, can they sustain that for the full 70 minutes? That's my biggest question for Tyrone.
Lee, there's just one last thing I wanted to ask you, just in the context of this game. Like, we were speaking about matchups before we came on air, and like, I think the one thing that's been touted at all week is that Hampsey's going to mark Kieran Kilkenny. But then you look at the rest of the Dublin threats, and you look at the rest of Tyrone's marquee players who can do a job on them. And Matty Donnelly came up, as in, do you dedicate him to a man-marking job? You don't really, because you're going to take away from his attacking threat. But then you start to think about your job that you did on Dermot Connolly, where you were still able to contribute offensively while also marking Dublin's best player, really. So how do you get that balance right? And how important is that, the specific example of how Tyrone approached this Sunday?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of risk involved in doing so. I think with Tyrone, though, I think they can have that little bit of risk to roar, because in Cullum Cabinet, they have a sweeper there that is the best sweeper in the game. And we've seen that over the championship, that how important he is for Tyrone and how well he reads the game. So for the likes of Tyrone McCann, I think in particular, whose fitness is pretty insane, I think he needs to take risk and just take it on and go for it. And Matty Donnelly, if you're going to put him as a designated man marker, I think you're taking away from Tyrone's running game particularly, because like in the second half against Monaghan, I thought Matty Donnelly really controlled the game. He's really good in the ball. He was driving them forward, winning free. So I think Matty Donnelly is critical to what they're doing. He's a huge cog for them. Again, the likes of Peter Hart as well. They need to get these guys in the ball, because the game in Noma, the three of these guys were snuffed out pretty early by Jim Gavin. He recognised how important they were. And that's why, I suppose, Tyrone didn't really live up to the bill until the last 10 minutes. And when they got these players kind of freed from the shackles of their defenders, that they could actually do a bit of damage. So there's definitely a bit of risk involved, and that's something we highlighted. It's all well good doing the man marking job, but if you're not willing to make a few runs each half and try and influence the game, then you're not going to have a chance against Dublin. And put these guys in the back foot. We all know how good the likes of Kieran Kenny is, Paul Mannion, only all these guys are going forward. But put them on the back foot, even though they will work hard. If you put them on the back foot, you're going to get some form of joy out of them. And I think Tyrone have that fitness and that capacity to do so. But again, are they willing to take them high risks that we did in finals or Kerry did in semis and finals? That's the biggest question for Mickey, and I hope they can, because I think it'll really add to the game.
Yeah, a quick question about taking those risks. You were somebody who went for goal as opposed to clipping an easy point. What, like, was that because the opportunity was there, or did you have it in your head, if I'm going forward, the defence will actually look, you know, your inside forwards will keep their defenders busy, and because you're an extra man, that there's a good chance for you to score a goal. Was that like pre-planned that you were going to go for goal rather than clip the easy points?
Definitely not pre-planned to get that far. Yeah, I know. I suppose when you get those chances, you know, they're very limited against Dublin. You mentioned they've conceded 2 out of 4 chances in championship, which is pretty good stat for your defence. So you're not going to get a lot of goal chances or opportunities. So for me, when I was in the position, and again, I had forwards that were lucky to get out of my way. Now, I don't know how much of the trust in me shooting, but... You know, you have to. I think, again, I took the risk of saying, you know what, if I got the chance like that, I'm going to go for it, because you're not going to get too many in the final. And looking at previous finals and stats, you know, to get a goal in all-around final is hugely important. But I suppose, for me, they got the goal too. So, yeah, I think when you get in those positions, Jerry, you have to take a goal chance. I think, you know, you can clip the points over all day, but when you have a gilt-edged one-on-one opportunity, you know, whether you score or not, like Jason Doherty won last year, it was saved well by Clucks, like he had bravery to take it on. You know, the risk you're going to have to take on all our final day, because if Tyrone are to get 1 or 2 or 3 goal chances, they need to at least score one of them to have any chance of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, probably 2, to be honest. A quick question about the Mayo manager's job. Were you guys surprised ultimately that Stephen did decide to step away, or did you have an inkling over it the way it had just been rumbling on for quite a while?
No, to be honest, we were all a bit shocked as a group, to be honest. I think we fully believed that Stephen was going to be our manager for the year ahead, for 2019. I suppose we were looking to that, or we were going to build towards that. So I suppose we're probably in the dark a little bit, because we're involved in some championship currently. And again, we're probably notified that Stephen was trying to get a backroom team together. So there wasn't a lot of pressure on players to be getting involved. It was more about, you know, let Stephen and the county board work in the background to get what they needed for us as players and for us for 2019, and start building towards putting the wrongs right next year. So yeah, a bit of a shock to the players, to be honest, and it's something we could have done without. And you know, we were lucky enough to have Stephen for the last 3 years, and nearly brought us to the Holy Grail on 2 of those occasions. So really, he owes nothing in terms of what he brought to us. But yeah, it's disappointing for players to have to, I suppose, face into a winter of maybe uncertainty on who's going to come in now and take over. So I suppose that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, like he obviously said there was no support from the Mayo County Board, or not enough for him to go ahead. Do you think he deserved maybe a little bit more support, given the job, as you say, getting so close to Dublin over the last couple of years?
Definitely. And, you know, Stephen's earned what he's got with Mayo. And, you know, you've seen from the way we played over the last, well, particularly the 2 years prior to this year, that, you know, we were within a, you know, a breeze of beating the, probably one of the greatest teams out there. And that's not down to luck or, you know, any fluke at all. That's down to brilliant management and brilliant planning, and having that, I suppose, having that tactical know-how, you know, that he did believe that we could beat Dublin. And now the only probably thing that you went against was players. We never won a medal under Stephen, which was disappointing from management and probably a player point of view. But I suppose we had Connacht medals. It was all about landing the big one. But, you know, I think Stephen, you know, deserved any bit of praise he got, or any congrats, or I think just it was probably handling it poorly from himself. And, you know, Stephen, as I said, Stephen couldn't give us much more as a manager, and from a player point of view, and I know he was highly regarded within the group of guys. And of course, Stephen's biggest challenge was trying to fill a backroom team that were with us for 4, 5, 6 years. And if that was happening in any other county, including Dublin or Kerry or Tyrone, that's a huge void to fill, and a lot of pressure on guys. And I think you need to take your time in doing a process and looking at the best possible candidates to come in and pick up what was left behind. So I think Stephen deserves a huge amount of praise, and, you know, from personally and from a group point of view, we can't say no more than thanks him, because he did so much with us, and he pushed us to the boundaries that we thought we'd never go.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Should the players be involved in the selection, or what level of representation do you think you guys should have? I know that was kind of a key thing for you guys in the past as a group. Obviously, you've come through some difficult times as a group. Do you hope that your voice is listened to, at least when it comes to the criteria that are laid down for the next manager?
Of course, I think it's important to have a leadership and a player-led group, I suppose, come in and give some feedback and go learn from maybe what went on before, or maybe what we could have done better as players, or what management could have given us. So I think definitely, I think it's important to have a player voice, because, again, the players are going to be working this manager throughout the next year, maybe 2 or 3 years. So, and that was something that worked well when Stephen was brought in, that there was a player voice, and they made it clear that, you know, they wanted Stephen in originally. So, and again, that worked brilliantly over the time we had Stephen. So I think it is important, because at the end of the day, it's the players that are going to be playing under him, and the players that are going to be trusting what, I suppose, he's going to bring to the setup, and what selectors and backroom he's going to bring on him. So definitely, I think it's important, and it shouldn't be just put over players' heads. Like, I think it's important to connect with some of the leaders out there, particularly in our own group. So there's some really good voices that can be heard and have some good ideas, and maybe we can learn a bit from that, and maybe the Kent work and take on a bit of that advice going forward now for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, alright Lee, great stuff, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, enjoy again. Cheers. Thank you.
So if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream, or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.